We are joined by Elliot Adams. Some of you may have heard him previously on our show as the former president of Veterans for Peace, but just generally a peace activist these days. And he suggested we start off with the question, you know, isn't it time to end the insanity of war? So Elliot, what can we do to stop war?
They can't have a war without us. And realistically, the government, I hate to put it this way, but the government wants war. Not everybody in the government, not the whole government, but they want war. That's why we have war. I mean, you hear things like, war is failed diplomacy. Well, diplomacy doesn't fail until you stop. And you don't stop working at diplomacy until there's a reason. And typically the reason it fails is because the warmongers get tired of waiting and they create a war. So in that case, I would say that war is the assassin of diplomacy, not war of diplomacy. And we look at history and we talk about war as being, also we talk about as being sort of a natural consequence of conflict. I would pose to you that war is not the result of conflict. Conflicts are ginned up, created to justify war. I mean, just in recent history, think of the sinking of the Maine, think of the Gulf of Tonkin, think of them all. Think of, remember we invaded Iraq because of 9/11, and Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and then we invaded Afghanistan because we wanted to get hold of Osama bin Laden, even though, if you remember listening to the news during the time, Afghanistan offered to extradite Osama bin Laden. We said, no, never mind, we're just going to invade. So the history is long and continuous where governments just start wars. And this leads what we're at. This leads me to this question, why war? And I think war is not about conflict resolution. First of all, it doesn't resolve conflict. Second of all, we know how to resolve conflict. And then you think, war is not about national security. It doesn't create national security. And we know how to create national security. And that leaves me wondering, if that's the case, then what is war about?
I would say, my short answer, one of the answers, of course, is the whole issue of the military industrial complex. And in fact, the 58% of the discretionary federal budget goes to the military. And virtually every congressperson has a military contractor in the district. And so even, people on the progressive side of the aisle, like Bernie Sanders, has often not been good on trying to stop military spending because it impacts upon, a contractor in their district. It's about money.
It's about money. And I would say, Mark, I was just going to say that of all the wars I've participated, all the wars that I've studied, one thing has been true about every single one. One thing has been true, and that is that a few people made a whole lot of money. Very few, but a whole lot of money. So I think you're absolutely right. And you talk about the fact even the progressives and the liberals keep supporting the defense system because this is huge, huge pile of money. So it could just as easily be a huge, huge pile of money for healthcare, or a huge, huge pile of money that we spend on infrastructure rather than spending on war. And after all war does is destroy things. It destroys material things. It destroys people. It destroys relationships. So it's a bad choice.
Well, even during the Trump era, the reality was that the Democrats in Congress approved greater military spending than what Trump argued for. So this is clearly sort of a bipartisan effort. What do we do with, Biden, who basically came in as pretty much a war hawk? What can the American people do to say, hey, we have other problems? You mentioned healthcare, obviously, climate change, the whole problem of economic justice. How do we reorient our government to more domestic needs and people's needs, not military spending?
Yeah, I think it's a really important question. But we can look at history. So I think Vietnam is a really important lesson. The reality is Vietnam is the only war that our government ended. Every other one just keeps rolling along. And it only ended it because they were forced by the military, by the, you know, the soldiers, by the taxpayers, by the people to stop it. And they only did it kicking and screaming. Now, the reality is they can't have a war unless they have the bodies of our loved ones to fight the war, unless they have our tax dollars to fight the war. Now, they're not going to send their own loved ones to it.
Well, one of the things from Vietnam was because Vietnam, you know, a lot of people were drafted. And you know, after that Vietnam War, we've gone to the so-called all-volunteer army, basically the super patriots combined with, you know, people who were sort of desperate, you know, financial, you know, backgrounds and say the military, you know, gives me some way out of the poverty I grew up in.
The poverty draft. Absolutely. And that's what they chose to do it. But it doesn't make a difference. We can still pursue that same process. They need our support. Now, you bring up this question of everybody supporting the wars. One of the really interesting things to think about is you constantly hear people say, oh, yeah, war's terrible, war's bad, but not this one. And that is a key piece, is that if they can just get you to buy into this war, either through support or through tacit support, then they can have their war. And once they start their war, they keep saying it's like getting out of Afghanistan. And Biden said, "Oh, we're gonna get out later in an honorable war." You know, you go back to Eugene McCarthy. I don't remember that, but he was when he was running for president. They asked him, "Well, this Vietnam, you know, it's really complicated. How do we get our soldiers out of Vietnam?" And he said, "Well, I'd try ships and planes." And it's that simple. If you aren't putting soldiers on ships and planes, you're not getting out. And that's what happens. They keep trying to get us to go a little bit further. And they talk about an honorable peace. So, you know, I was in Korea, I was in Japan, I was in a lot of countries where I wasn't in uniform. And the reality is when a U.S. goes into those countries, we support a government that does what we want them to do, dependent on us and not the people. And as we pull back, that government has two choices. It can shift to sort of supporting the people. Most likely what will happen is it will fall. It will fall because we aren't there set up. And that's going to happen whether you do it this month, next month, 10 years from now. Afghanistan hasn't gotten actually Afghanistan's gotten less stable. Iraq has gotten less stable. Every country we get into gets unstable. And you take Iraq. Iraq was a stable first world nation when we invaded second. Now it's an unstable second or third world nation. Afghanistan's completely been destabilized. So we aren't, you know, it's hard to recognize we are not part of the problem. That's the solution. We are the problem. It is our warmongers, which created the problem and will continue to create the problem until we just get out. And is it going to be messy? Yes, it's going to be messy. And if you didn't know it was going to be messy when you started the war.
You know, what should people do at this point to tell, you know, our leaders, no more wars?
First thing they have to do is they have to actually believe that it is time to abolish war. And I would say quite simply, not only is this the time to abolish war, if we don't abolish war, species will not survive. So the first thing they have to do is make their personal commitment that they believe it's time to abolish war, and then use all their tools, let our politicians know all the time, be willing to take a little bit of a risk in either a demonstration or in refusal to pay taxes, and it's just a matter of building a movement to abolish war. And now is the time. Now is the critical time. And it's also not a bad time just because we have this history of one bungled war after another bungled war. And now we're trying to create a war in Iran, which would be even worse.
I want to thank Elliot Adams for joining us today. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.